This line, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so this is a key, isn't it, for Elijah, for all of us, that life, how we could go astray, how we could mess up the life that we've been given by going into temptation, falling into evil. And you know, as we work through the Lord's Prayer, it's this, isn't it? All a fantastic prayer that Jesus gave us that sums up really all you need to know for this life and how to pray, what to pray for. And we've been working through line by line with all of that. So I'm just going to invite us to say this together to remind us and to pray the prayer as we come together. So can we pray? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. So we'll come to the next line in a moment, but it's a prayer, isn't it, that could just shape these lives, if we're praying them over our children, praying all those lines. There's a guide here, Power in the Lord's Prayer. You're very welcome to take that card as you go at the end of the day. Every line, Jesus gave us what we need to know and focus on to be his people, to be good people in this world who are positive and can make a contribution to this world. And so this line, this one, clearly says, doesn't it, that there is something coaxing us, tempting us, pulling us away from the good life that God wants for us, temptation. And this life is meant to be one of goodness, love, joy, peace, all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. But we can very easily be tempted, pulled away. And my suggestion is that each one of you, because I know it's true of me, will know that's the case because we fall into some of these, or probably all of them at some point in our lives. St. Paul said, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, God is glorious. He wants your life to be glorious, but we all fall short of it. And all those seven deadly sins, they're not actually listed in the Bible, but they run through the Bible. So you can very easily see that they are things that the Bible speaks about. Anger. You may not be a person who gets really angry. I very rarely do because I'm British and, you know, I keep it all in. I just have an underlying resentment about things at times. So that's the same sort of thing, isn't it? Lust, getting sex wrong in our lives. Greed, gluttony, similarly, getting food wrong in our lives. These things that were meant to be good that we can just corrupt. Envy in all sorts of ways. It doesn't have to be envy about people's possessions or anything. I can get envious of other ministers who have bigger churches than me. Oh, it's sad, isn't it? And all that. But it's true. You can get silly things you can just get envious about. You can get envious about other people's character. You may wish that you were better, the person who's better, different to you in that way. Greed for all sorts of things, just not being satisfied with where we are and who we are and what we have, but always just wanting that bit more. And then there's pride, which is probably at the root of all of these. Pride puts the self, the ego, first. And you are to love yourself. I'm to love myself, as Jesus told us. But if you put yourself first, pride, you've had it. If you really can't get through this life if you're putting pride first. And it may well lead to this. I think this is probably one of the ones that we're most people here, or is a problem with our society now, is sloth. And sloth means being lazy, being indifferent, being apathetic, just not caring. So why aren't we angry when we hear about knife crime? Why aren't we angry when we heard about social inequality last week and food and people's lifespans decreasing and all that thing? Why aren't we angry in this village about all the things that have closed over 20 years? Where is the engagement? And it's far easier, isn't it, to live our lives with family and friends and get on with it and just ignore. But a life of sloth, of laziness in that way, is just a half life, I want to suggest to you. And to know that actually, if we do fall into all these things, and pray God that Elijah, Charlotte don't, actually what they would be doing is missing their vocation. You weren't made to sit in front of the television for 5 hours a day. You weren't made to live a life of indulgence. You were made to live a life in God, giving back to his kingdom. And so you will miss your vocation if you're giving in to the ego in that way. And then all these things are briefly to go through. What happens if we give into those temptations and live that half life? If we do that, then we show our lack of trust in God for our well-being. If we're not seeking God first, then we're not saying, I trust you, God, for all the abundance of life you promised to me. We become less than the people we can be in God. Clearly so, if we're falling into those things of the ego. We miss the excitement of God's call on our lives. He doesn't want us to sit around waiting to die, which is the next line down on there. get a sense that that's the case. Oh, I'll go on a cruise this month and another one in 2 months' time, and I'll have a holiday here. You're just waiting to die, basically, aren't you? There's not much going on in your life apart from that self-indulgence. So there's an excitement of God wants you for your life to have. So we may be wasting our lives, passing our time before we die. And simply, we may miss our vocation, our calling to follow Jesus, to serve in his kingdom, which is our fulfillment. It's the person that God made us to be before we were born. And to know that in all of this, there is an evil force. And that may be pretty unfashionable to say that, but just look around you and be aware of what's going on in our society. There is an evil force that the Bible calls the devil. And in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, Peter said this. Peter was Jesus' right-hand man, really. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. In other words, every one of you is open and prey to that evil force pulling you away and taking your life off in a way that is just wasted and just given in to the ego. And because the devil, in the next verse down there, James said, another close disciple of Jesus, he said, each person is tempted when they're dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. So the evil force working on those things within us. So how do we deal with all this? How do we make sure that Elijah, Charlotte, all of us fulfill our true vocation in God to be the people that God wants us to be? Given that those voices that go on that will give us a half-life, which will just mean we're sitting around waiting to die, we're missing our vocation. How do we do it? Well, clearly we follow the example of the Master. And at the season of Lent then fits in very nicely. We focus on, look at the temptations of Jesus. So to make sure you haven't gone to sleep, you have to help with the reading. You are A over here when it's on the screen. Halfway down there, split yourself in half and you're in the middle. You're in B and you're C over there. Okay? So this is the story of the temptation. But how did Jesus answer each of these? So A, could you please, together, start this one off with me? Oh, I'm not going to read. I'm losing my voice a bit. Yeah, off to you. Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. And B? And C?
The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread.
Okay, what's Jesus' answer? And I might ask over the table over there of Seth and Charlie and Ollie and so on and Billy, you could tell me, if you look on the screen here, what does Jesus answer to that one? There are three possibilities, he says, when the devil tells us to turn the stones into bread. Seth, you're going to have to shout.
Man shall not live only by bread alone, but by bread
that. Yeah, there's another one who's had a good South African background there. He knows it very well done. Thanks, Seth. Thank you. Excellent. So that's what Jesus says, and he's quoting scripture there of from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. You live by bread alone. You need the word of God in your lives. Let's go on to the next one. What happens? Oops, too far. After A, please.
The devil came up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world.
And then the B, please.
And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to.
And C.
If you worship me, it will all be yours.
Well, C are good, aren't they? Very good, well done. Oh, you chaps over there again, please. Could you tell me the answer to this one? So Jesus has been tempted effectively to worship evil, to give in his life to evil. What does he reply? Any shot? Oh, Seth, go. Come on, wake up over there. Go on, Seth. Give it a go then again. Oh, sorry. No, that's wrong. So there's one more left. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. He's just been tempted to give in. Worship means what you'll worship something. You'll give your life to something. You're basing your life around something. Jesus says, the devil is saying to him, if you give your life into all the evil stuff of money, power, success, sex, all that, if you do that, you'll have everything. And Jesus is saying, no, you worship God alone and serve him only. And so the last one that comes to Jesus, we could have A again, please. Thank you. And B?
For it is written, he will command his angels to serve you
and see. Process of elimination, so I think we all know the answer now. So the last one then is there, that it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test, Deuteronomy 6:16. So Jesus is able to get rid of the force of evil by quoting scripture at it, by knowing the Bible. And then we know that in this last part here, I'll just read that, we're done really. The devil left him and angels came and attended him. And so Christ was at peace. And a bit more of that in a moment about resisting the temptation and finding our vocation. But to sing our way through that and to pray it in, be thou my vision, O Lord my God. We're going to stand to sing again. Prove himself by stunning miracles, overriding the natural laws of the world, a God who will manipulate using the ways of evil, money, greed, sex, power, violence. And he counters all of this with scripture. Jesus knows that the deepest needs of the world aren't quick fixes like that. They aren't stunning miracles. What is needed is to worship God, trust him, feed on his word. And for Jesus himself, he knows his own vocation. He's worked it through. It's not to be any of those people. It is to be the suffering servant, the Messiah, who comes and works in this world of evil and alongside us and transforms evil, suffering, death into resurrection. And we pray then that this is the people that we can be too, because we follow the example of Jesus. The people that we can be, trust that we will be as we find our vocation. We must be overcoming the temptations to be less than we can be, that we can be in God. And so in summary then, this is the prayer for Charlotte, for Elijah, for us all, that we will do those things there that are on the screen, that we will follow the example of Jesus, that we will feed on God in daily reading, knowing of the Bible, prayer, fasting. And we've been saying this a lot over the last months in our church, that we have to be reading the Bible day by day. We have to be taking it into our lives. And I've said it much more gently than they used to say it. This is a 19th century bishop. He didn't mess about, did he? J.C. Ryle. Knowledge of the Bible never comes by intuition. It can only be got by hard, regular, daily, attentive, wakeful reading. Do we grudge the time and trouble this will cost us? If we do, we are not yet fit for the kingdom of God. Oh, I would have loved to have been a 19th century preacher. That would be great. But you can get the point, can't you? You can get the point that if we're not serious about it, you know, what are we doing? Messing around, waiting for our lives, waiting for the point. Wait, God, somebody said it's like being in the waiting room for death otherwise. Trust in God, worship God, follow him in his life of service. Jesus eschewed all those ways of temptation when he came back from the wilderness. It says here, he returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. That can be true for you and I, the power of the Holy Spirit. He preaches his first sermon and says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to preach good news to the poor, proclaim freedom to prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. If Elijah, Charlotte, if Arlo, if all of us could do those things in our lives and get to the end of our life where God says to us, well done, good and faithful servant, for what you've done, then truly we would have had a good life and lived out our vocation in Christ. Amen.